Now all the tax collectors came to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. So they've noticed that he eats with tax collectors and sinners, and they're pretty unhappy about that, and probably going to report him to someone, who knows who. And basically, what this means is that Jesus spends his time, and it really is the bulk of his time in the Gospel according to Luke, eating with two and sharing meals with two kinds of people. On the one hand, he shares meals with enemies of the people, and on the other hand, he shares meals with enemies of the state. And this becomes the core subversive activity of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel according to Luke. And all the while sharing meals with enemies of the people and enemies of the state, he tells stories about what the kingdom of God looks like, which in effect is intended to look exactly like meals that include enemies of the people and enemies of the state. And that is the core image of the Gospel according to Luke. And if you want to know what got him in such trouble by the time he gets to Jerusalem, this is it. Meals shared with enemies of the people and enemies of the state. And then in that context, Jesus tells a couple of really typically off-the-wall stories. One, whose main character is a shepherd, who in the first century of the Common Era, shepherds were the despised of all people. I mean, they were right up there with followers of Herod. I mean, liars, cheats, thieves. I mean, they'd, steal your coin purse as much as they'd give you the time of day in the first century of the Common Era. They were on the lower rung of society, and this is the kind of character Jesus uses to tell a story. And then, just in case they, didn't quite get the irony of that, he tells another story about a lost coin, and the main character is a woman. Nobody in the first century of the Common Era would care, whether a woman lost a coin and found it and asks everybody to rejoice. Nobody would care. And yet, she becomes the core of this story. And they all revolve around finding things and people who are lost and welcoming them into a communion and fellowship and community, which brings us right back to the meals that Jesus shares with enemies of the people and enemies of the state. You see, back in the first century of the Common Era, sharing a meal was a huge deal. And yeah, it was important, you know, in some basic way that a lot of folks weren't quite sure where their next meal might be coming from. Again, here they are in the first and second century of the Common Era. They're living in a war zone. Everything, all of life is tenuous. And so mealtimes were breaks, if you will, from the madness of their lives, living in a war zone. And to double up on that, anyone who was welcomed into a meal was considered now, regardless of who they were, part of the community, connected and in full fellowship together. It was deeply significant who you shared your meals with. Enemies of the people, enemies of the state, as far as Jesus are concerned now, are part of the communion and the fellowship of God. So in this context, a modern-day example of how this might work and how odd it is for people like this to be welcomed into that kind of community and that kind of fellowship may arise more than anywhere I know. Anyway, you may think of other examples in communities of recovery. So think about Alcoholics Anonymous or Al-Anon or Overeaters Anonymous or Gamblers Anonymous or Sex Addicts Anonymous or Emotions Anonymous. I mean, there are hundreds now different kinds of recovery communities. And they all pretty much work like this. And the example I'm going to use with you comes out of the community of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, someone shows up at a meeting of AA, and they come into the room, and they sit down, and they look a little beat up. And the meeting begins, and there's little kind of rituals that take place. And at one point, before the meeting really kicks in, the person who is running the meeting, typically referred to as the secretary of the meeting, asks the question, is there anyone new among us? And if you're new, would you please just share your first name, not to embarrass you, just so we can get to know you a little better? And so here's this person that stumbled into the meeting, and I can assure you, they don't want to be there. And the person kind of takes a deep breath and says, I'm so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. Now, implied in that one little self-identifying moment is an entire life's story of one mess after another. When a person identifies like that, I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic, it means they've probably drank themselves into the ground. They've probably trashed every relationship they've ever been involved in. There's a good chance that person's spouse, be it a husband or a wife, wants nothing to do with them anymore, let alone any kids that may be involved in the situation, who will run screaming from the room as soon as that person walks in through the door, probably crashed the car, probably ended up in court with a DUI, probably sent to the AA meeting by a judge. I'm so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. They really don't want to be there. You can extrapolate this. I mean, for anyone who may be familiar with the Al-Anon program, somebody new comes in, again, they sit down, they're looking a little haggard. And when they identify themselves, I'm so-and-so, and I'm here with Al-Anon, or, you know, I'm a member of Al-Anon, implied in that is a life story of attempts to control an entire family's situation, especially the ones that are out of hand, especially the drunks trying to cover up or make it look better or try to normalize the situation or try to deflect any problems that might come up. And they've made themselves a little nutty. I'm so-and-so, and I'm here in Al-Anon. And they really don't want to be there. Now, here, there's a couple of really interesting things that happen in response to that self-identifying moment. The first one is that everyone else in the meeting claps. Woohoo! Yeah! You trashed your life and all your relationships. You crashed the car. You lost the house. The wife or the husband doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Woo! And everybody says, welcome. And then chances are somebody sitting right next to them who, and they don't want to see this. They don't look at me, don't talk to me. If I just sit still and maybe if I don't breathe, no one will notice that I'm here. So the person sitting next to them leans over and says, keep coming back. I mean, I don't know of anywhere else in the world, any room in the world where you can show up having destroyed your life and the lives of those you love, and even strangers, and be welcomed like that. This is what Jesus is talking about. When he's talking about people who are lost, it's like this. You know, those of us who have attempted to control life and have, in a different sort of way, destroyed the relationships, you know, that we're involved in and made ourselves completely and utterly insane. And then wondering why we wake up miserable every morning. This is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. These are the kind of people that Jesus would share meals with. People who trash other people's lives. And then talk about the kingdom of God. So, you and I are invited to be that kind of community. To imagine ourselves connected with enemies of the people and enemies of the state, welcoming them, those who have destroyed other lives, welcoming them into the fellowship of God. And rejoicing that they're here. And if you're one of those, like me, welcome. Keep coming back. Take a breath.